Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
She's joining us on the fan hotline. You want football information that digs deep? Cynthia Freeland is the person to call. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey, Cynthia.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
It's good. Going very well, Cynthia, with NFL.com, the NFL Network, and the Numbers Game on YouTube. Happy December to you. It's really December here. I'm sure it's not where you are, even though the Michigan native likes snow. We keep hearing as she lives in L.A., but that's okay.
Yes. Yes. I do like snow. I just like it selectively. I don't like when it chooses me. I like to choose it.
That's really well said. So I'm not kidding. I'm watching the Browns the other day, and you know they're going against the 49ers. It's a game you think you got to do the right thing. They went for it on a 4th-and-1 in the first quarter at the San Francisco 20, down 7-0, when you could have easily had 3 points and a field goal. And then, yes. Cynthia, it's a 10-8 game, third quarter, 4th-and-1 at their own 33, 2-point game. They went for it. They fumbled. 49ers got the football, short field, touchdown. Is this a good idea? And we're seeing teams going for it so often on fourth down now. And you always hear the guys calling the game say, well, the analytics say. What do the analytics say in situations like those? Do you take points? Do you punt? What do you do, Cynthia?
So the first thing that I always get annoyed with is there's no like singular analytics overlord that like has the final say in what analytics are supposedly saying, right? You know, you have to remember analytics are a tool in the tool belt. So it's your ability to apply them, use them. You know, we have on the media side, I will say they do give you assets like, you know, the amount of times that fourth down has worked this season overall for every team. But that's kind of, it's not useless. It's just, it's an interesting trend-wise, but your team is never the same as, you know, the way you feel about it is never the same as the way another team feels about it, right, or how they prep. I think part of what you're seeing with this is the prep for taking on a 49ers defense that's depleted on that side of the ball with so many injuries, no Fred Warner, no Nick Bosa. They have not been able to get any pressures going into that game. You know, they had 5 fewer sacks as a team than Myles Garrett. So I think they believed that they had an edge with field position and also taking a more aggressive approach with a change at quarterback that there just isn't any film on, so that the defense would be, you know, perhaps caught a bit off guard. So my guess, I'm not, you know, my guess is that then when they were doing their prep for this game, they said, well, we have this ultimate X factor here because there isn't a ton of film on what Shedeur Sanders is going to do. We know, you know, maybe we can use some of the scouting report kind of in our advantage, saying like maybe they'll try to manipulate the pocket in a way that's disadvantageous for the offense. No. We're going to make it look like that, but we're going to try to attack. Now, you can't judge the outcome based on what the strategy was, but my guess is, you know, the strength of the Niners team is not their defense this year. It's their offense. So being aggressive is a smart play when it comes to the element of surprise for the Browns offense.
I was curious just when Paul DePodesta said he was going back to baseball the other day. And, you know, so he goes back to baseball, and we're talking about a guy that, you know, especially for Indians fans, as we saw him grow and get bigger and then go out to Oakland, that, you know, analytics was his bread and butter. And then he came back to the Browns, came back to Cleveland through the Browns. And, like, how do you think that that worked in Cleveland, his use of analytics with the Browns and, you know, kind of that whole the image that he had?
Well, there's two things that are different, that are really key differences about the NFL. The first is a very simple one. We have 11 moving pieces on each side on every single snap.
Yep.
Baseball, it's almost like time series forecasting. If you choose a pitch and then something happens and then a cascade of other things happens. That is not what happens in football. You know, there are 11 moving pieces on my side, 11 moving pieces on your side, and, you know, it's just a far more complex equation just if you're talking about on the field. Now, the other part, the part I would imagine he's been far more impactful in, and we won't really know that, is setting up the systems in place. This is not a sexy part of analytics we want to talk about going forward on fourth down, but the more important part is setting up an infrastructure for things like scouting to be more advantageous, for, you know, the ability to recognize the transition from college to the pro level in a better way, especially now that college has gotten exponentially more difficult with these kids in the transfer portal basically every third Thursday. So, you know, it's not necessarily the stuff we see on the field in terms of decision making, but it's probably a lot more to do with the structures, the technology that helps power how the scouts do their work, the load management that's done on a weekly basis, how they're meaning, like, you know, how players are being trained in the week-to-week down and distance situation of practice, not just on the field. So as much as it's, you know, I love the story, and, you know, if you have a movie where, you know, Jonah Hill plays you, it's going to be pretty cool always, although he looks nothing like Jonah Hill, as we all know.
Yes.
But ultimately, you know, it's a lot of it, a lot of the hard work of sports is not the sexy part. It's the, you know, it's the meat and potatoes of the process and, you know, the stuff that people go to school for, things like organizational behavior on, not, you know, calling you fourth down play.
That's true. And they never talk about Mulder, Hudson, and Zito too in the movie. The other part of that too for Paul, and I thought, because, and a lot of times when people want to, you know, put down analytics, it's as, right. I always go back and think about Paul Brown, right? And the organizational skills of Paul Brown to want to have a playbook, to organize practice, to, and then, you know, even with DePodesta, I think that part of that is, hey, we're going to go play in Europe. Is it smarter to leave on Wednesday? Is it smarter to leave on Tuesday?
Exactly.
How do we get sleep deprivation, management, stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's not always the sexy part, but the other part I find fascinating about all of these things is, like, just so everyone knows, there's just more data, not different. Your ability to interpret it is never, like, you could have the best model in the world. You could have the best, you know, ability to, you know, technologically sift through things and the coolest database. But if you don't know how to use it, apply it, there's so many things. It's not, you know, there's so many pieces to this value chain. They all have to work together. It's not dissimilar to anyone else's jobs. It's just, we get a chance as outsiders to view the outcome of wins and losses a lot more quickly than, like, you know, if a brand uses data insights to create a new, I'm going to use a good Ohio brand. Like, if Smucker's decides, like, hey, we're going to come up with a new Milk-Bone product for your dog, it takes months for them to know if the analytics paid off or not, not a week to week, you know, win loss situation.
Little Ohio analytic reference.
That was kind
there
of
with
deep.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
When you said Smucker's, I thought you were going jelly, and then all
that's
of a sudden,
beautiful.
You're like,
Uncrustables.
We're going milk.
Yeah, you could have gone Uncrustables.
Uncrustables just killed it. So I have to go a little more. You know, we're going to go a little beneath the surface here. We're not going to keep it surface. We're going my deep knowledge of Smucker's here.
That was beautiful. Is
no
it
way
just,
you don't have somebody in your family that works there. There's just no way.
I mean, my best friend might run their cat division. Just saying.
Boom.
You know?
Boom. All right.
Is it just my gut, or are teams going for it more on fourth down?
They are, but it's not necessarily because of analytics. It's because they're practicing it. You know, if you're saying my strategy, like the Lions are a good example. They have not. It has not gone well. You know, they've tried and failed seven times over the past three games to go for it on fourth down and convert. but that is because it's their identity. It's not necessarily because there's some numerical, you know, a nerd in the background being like, Dan Campbell, go for it. It's not that. It's, this is our identity. We believe we have an edge because on third down, we're approaching it differently than, you know, if it were third down where fourth down isn't an option for us. So that is what the playbook's about. That is what the psychology reflects. That is what the, it's not necessarily a strict numbers, like they're not playing chess there. It's checkers, and it's good checkers. Sometimes checkers is good. So ultimately, they're going for it more because a lot of times, you know, teams believe that if they get two plays in on third down or if they see something about a defense, that they have an advantage. It's not necessarily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Up is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Up, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Because some, you know, oh, if this, then this, it's just more, we believe this, we're going to go fast on this down, we're going to use this type of motion, blah, 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 because our prep tells us that.
I was watching a Cowboys game a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was Mike Tirico and Collinsworth, but I'm not sure. And they said, we were talking to Brian Schottenheimer, and when he gets into this situation, he thinks, I keep hearing my dad in my head, take the points, take the points, yep. Take the points.
Yep.
Is it better analytically to take the points?
Sometimes. Depends on who you are.
That's not what I wanted to hear. Come on.
I will never say, you know, yes or no, because here's the thing, just because someone's on the field doesn't mean they're 100% healthy. So if my left tackle is a little banged up, but not banged up enough to not play, and he's a little messed up, that's going to influence how I feel about what's happening next. Right. And same thing with, you know, if my right if Myles Garrett's coming at me versus the 49ers defense, to, you know, use that to draw that from what we were talking about before. You know, if I'm really scared of the pressure, I'm just going to make different decisions. And I don't know until you get into the flow of the game. The point of the analytics is to give you an incrementally better opportunity to make decisions. So you want to make your decision-making strategy better each time. It's not to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect outcome. If there were, then we wouldn't play games. It would be boring, the whole thing. You just want your edge to be a little better than your competitors. And that's really it. And that's very unsatisfying. I understand. But creating that, like that structure, what is it? We fall to, you don't raise to the level of your highest player. You fall to the level of your systems, right? So that is the system that they're talking about.
It's always great to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Hey, you guys have a great winter.
Thank you. Next time we talk, I'm after the college football players, I want to hear what you have, your thoughts on how Ohio State slowed the game down and how they've done that all season, knowing that they think they have 16, 17 game schedules every year. We'll talk about that next time.
Can I tell you that Ryan Day is one of the smartest people that I have had the pleasure of knowing since he was a GA at Boston College? And I mean, number one, I have so much respect for anyone in this college coaching world because I think it's crazy. I don't know who would want that life, but whatever. And it's a lot of fun. And I know I'm from that state up north, but yeah. I'm a huge Ryan Day fan and thus an Ohio State fan for that reason.
So you told him how to slow the game down. Okay, now we know.
I did not tell him how to slow. He figured that out on his own, but he's you know, this is why I learned from people like him, because it is brilliance right there.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Cynthia.
I don't know if you caught the last part of that too, because especially with the analytics of Ohio State and watching what they've been able to, I was really intrigued by the fact, first of all, that they haven't given up a touchdown in the second half all season. And then the other part of it is that they had that 11-minute drive on Saturday. And again, this isn't just about Ohio State, Michigan. This is about watching a team learn from their mistakes from the year before, because, you know, Ohio State loses 13-10 to Michigan the year before, and you ask yourself why, and then you're like, well, they didn't have the ball in the second half. Michigan had a nine-minute drive that ended up with an interception, but it was enough that if Ohio State didn't get anything going on the next series of downs, which they didn't, then Michigan would have a chance to turn things around. And that's a huge reason why they won 2 years ago. It's also the same reason why Ohio State was able to win this year. Now, Ohio State's offense was better than it was the year before, and Bo Jackson had a great game, and they needed that running attack. And man, Bo has been so special this year. It's been so fun to watch him play. But again, it goes back to ball control offense and eating the clock and making sure you can get get the third down, get the fourth down if you're going to go for it, and continue to just ravage the clock, because that's what Ohio State's done, not only in that game against Michigan, but they've done it all season long, because Ryan Day believes that they're going to play 16, 17 games this year, and he knows he's got to keep guys fresh. So the whole approach to the game, not only the talent they have on the field, the talent they've been able to utilize that would be on the bench because they want to expand out the games as far as talent is concerned. Look how many wide receivers they've used the last couple of weeks. And they're still using 3, 4, 5 running backs in a game. It might not be Peoples this week. It might be, you know, Donaldson or somebody else. But when you look at what they've been able to do, there is a total method to their madness, and it's been fun to watch.
We'll be talking more Ohio State Big Ten Championship game. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic joining us in about 15 minutes here. I want to go back to the fourth down thought. And I was left completely unsatisfied after listening to Cynthia on this, for this reason. You're looking for the analytics. You know, you keep hearing analytics, analytics, analytics. They tell you to do this. They tell you to do this. And she said, no, they don't. She said, sometimes this and sometimes that. So it's still open to interpretation.
I think,
but they can use all the data to help make decisions. With that said, I think Kevin Stefanski made two terrible decisions last week. This is a team that struggles to score points. And you could have tried a 37-yard field goal attempt to make it a 7-3 game.
Yes.
In the first quarter, which, well, that's a lot better than 7-0 and turning it over on downs.
Dan and I were both kind of like, you would have gone for it. Right, Dan?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, you're a 3-win team. That's the other part.
But that doesn't mean you don't
but you
try
didn't
to
have
win.
To, but you, maybe you were a 4-win team if you kicked the field goal.
Thank you. That's my point. Just because you're losing doesn't mean you don't try to put points on the board.
Yeah.
Or you try, well, we only have 3, well, let's go for it. Unless, you know, whatever. And then later, because you're a team that struggles to score, the last thing you want to do is give your opponent the ball in field goal range already. And so I think Kevin blew both of those calls. You take the points. It's Brian Schottenheimer hearing Marty in his head saying, if you don't kick the field goal.
I can't believe you just went there.
Thanks.
The first one you should have, or the
you do know
animal.
Where he went there, right?
What?
Animal House? That was an Animal House reference, in case you missed it. He just did one. It was very
a little Larry Kroger.
Yeah.
I'm offended that you even had to explain that to me.
Really?
Like that was more offensive than Jeff cursing at me earlier.
Oh, come on. Did you know right off the top of your head that he was going to Animal House? All right.
You're talking to somebody who had it on VHS and DVD. Come on now.
It was on over
this
the weekend.
This is an amateur.
Oh, it was on?
Which version? And there it was.
The clean version?
The clean version.
Ah.
I know. It's not nearly as fun.
It's not even.
No, the editing is poor.
When you're a struggling football team, especially struggling offensively, I think you do everything that you can to put points on the board or keep points off the board. And going for it from the 33-yard line, your own 33, with a struggling offense just made no sense to me in a two-point game.
The problem, and
not taking the points early. Let's get something on the board because we struggle.
What's the difference between going for it there and maybe doing a fake punt?
Either one's a bad idea.
Due to the fact that, again, I can get 1 yard. Like, the big problem I had was the Herald Fan.
Because you're a bad football team. That's why you didn't get a yard.
I was able to run the ball the entire game, though. I was able to get at least a little bit of press to do it.
Not when it mattered.
But you the also Herald went. Fan in one was the one that's inexcusable because you should have just called the timeout when realizing it was a hot mess.
And you were playing that with two different offensive linemen, and you were going to run the play. Had Fannin run the 4th-and-1 play all year?
No. That's why you should have
Why would you do that?
I mean, we were sitting there watching it on TV going, call time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Timeout, this is a mess. Call timeout, this is a mess. Call timeout, this is a mess.
Like the ball, your defense is good.
I would have gone for it because I needed some kind of momentum and some kind of points that I could get 1 yard with Quinshon Judkins. I had no issue with it whatsoever.
Well, you didn't. You didn't.
Well, you're right. If we're going to play the hindsight as 2020 game, you're right. Then everybody should be as conservative as humanly possible at all times because then they'll never get questioned.
It's not conservative.
But it is.
It's smart.
Is it?
When your team can't score points, Dan, you try to maximize your ability to score points. And even if you convert the first down on your 33, you convinced you're going to go down and put up points?
To get 1 yard with Quinshon Judkins?
Okay, yes. You picked up 1 yard.
Great, now I have a first down.
First and 10 from your own 34. You think you're going 66 yards and putting it in the end zone?
Gives me another shot. It gives me a shot to find something out of this offense to get a little bit of momentum, to get a little bit of positive feeling going on this whole thing. You need that, just even that little bit of like, hey, guys, we can do
hang on,
this.
Carl.
We can hang.
Carl, he's in someone.
Hey, Carl.
Yep. Hey, I agree with Jeff totally, and that normally doesn't happen with anybody. Okay? But
I know the feeling.
I agree with him. You take the points on the one, and the other one is definitely you have to punt the ball. Now, we have a great defense. We have a bad offense.
Play to your strength, Carl, right? Play to your strength.
That's right. If you can put them deep in their territory and put our defense on, we have a better chance of stopping them. I'm tired of hearing people say, and I've heard it for years, it's only 1 yard, we should be able to get it. Big macho bull crap talk, okay? and with momentum and crews were aggressive. No, crap. That's garbage. Players don't play like that where, oh, boy, the coach went for it. We are really aggressive. We are tough. No, that doesn't enter their minds, okay? They have to get the 1 yard, and how many times have guys not gotten not just 1 yard, but half a yard, half a foot? okay? They haven't gotten, because you don't call that, you don't call that. I don't care how macho you think it is. You don't do it. And as far as Detroit goes, when the coach goes on fourth down every time and predetermines we're going to go on fourth down all the time, you fail seven times in a row because of that. Okay. You have to determine when to go for each time you do it, not predetermine we're going to go on fourth down all the time. Okay. And that's the way I see it. It's a game you play as you go. And I don't care what your record is. I don't care if you only got three wins. It doesn't mean anything. It's there at that time. What you're doing now, players aren't thinking, we only got three wins, let's go for it. No, that doesn't matter. We want to do whatever we got to do to win this game.
Carl, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call.
There is truth to what he's saying. Look, if you know your offensive line is blowing up their defense all game long, or you feel like your offensive line, you believe that they are going to blow up if you believe your offensive line is going to blow up the defense, then absolutely go for it.
Or even if
you're showing faith in your offense. I know he doesn't believe that, but I think there are points in the game where if you're a dominant team, now you psychologically also bury the other team because they know they can't stop you on fourth down.
You just said something that doesn't work with this team, though. You just said if you're a dominant team.
No, I agree. That's why I said it's not true all the time.
If Detroit's going to go for it, okay, we didn't get it. They score a touchdown. Great. We're coming back with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams and Sam Laporta if he's not hurting out for the year.
Right.
They have the ability to go get points. In the Browns situation, they need to play to their strength, and their strength is their defense.
No, our 4th-and-1 play is based on a quarterback sneak or a running back that we think can get 1 yard. That's it. That's what it's been under Kevin Stefanski.
Mike's in Stowe, home of the Bulldogs. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
There's sun in Cleveland. It can't be all bad.
Hey, you got to take it. Sometimes you get one out of three. We got the sun today. We'll take it.
There you go.
Right? So, and I love Cynthia's comments about the situational snow thing, man. God, that is so, you know, that is, I take it when I want it.
Yeah, that was really good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was. You know, from an Ohio person, I know she's from Michigan, but like, I'm being an Ohio person. I love that. I'm going to use that again. So what I want to get on is a little bit about this, why we do what we did on fourth down. And I think what we're going to see, and we're going to see more of this type of situational evaluation is what I'm going to call it. That's my new term. But because I think we're doing a roster evaluation, as I've said all season. You know, that's my fancy way of saying tank, Jeff. You know, I've been saying it all year. But, you know, it's just, and it is. It's a logical way to go about this. And I know we're getting a lot of kick. Well, it hasn't worked before. Well, just because you don't necessarily walk the first two times when you only can crawl, it doesn't mean you don't try again. So, not to say that this tank won't work. We did show we could draft better, but I think getting back to why we did what we did, it's a way to test what our guys can do. It's a way to see what we're able to do. And look, I don't think we're necessarily trying to win. I'm going to do everything that really tries to win at the game. I'm not saying we're trying to lose, but from an analytical standpoint, I think you're going to see this team try to do some things to say, hey, let's do something to see whether we're able good at this. You know, we're going to, you know, write this, we're going to knock this, you know, put this in our minds. It's going to be there for later. I think that's what, and it'd be more interesting, guys. Look, let's face it. We're going to lose. I hope we lose the rest of our game. I know it sounds terrible.
You think we're losing the Sunday?
No, we've messed up, man. Andy, that game against Las Vegas was a huge win loss. And I know everybody in town loves getting a win. And, you know, nobody loves, not a lot of guys like tank. And I'm not saying I love it, but it's what we're doing right now. So I'm just trying to embrace what we can't control and get the best out of it. But, yeah, I think we're going to probably win this week. But, again, we still have the same problems. We scored 8 points last week, okay? Our over completions were still mostly of the minor, short range. We still have the same problems. Our line's still as bad as it was at the beginning of the year. No offense to those old guys. It's time to move a few of them out to pasture. But, yeah, it is. It's exciting. I don't mind seeing it. So fans shouldn't get upset about, oh, we messed up. We could have won that game. Look, we're not trying to win games. We're just trying to develop and build. And we are doing that. Look at Carson. God, I'm going to go out on a limb right now, guys. That's our next current roster Hall of Famer.
Wow.
Other than the obvious.
That's bold.
Yeah, no, I think he is that good. I mean,
defensive rookie of the month in the NFL.
Yeah.
Just announced today.
Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. coming up on Saturday, the Big Ten championship game. You have number one against number two. It's a big deal. You might think, hey, this is the national championship game. But no, you have to go through everything to get to the national championship game. Guy who's been all over college football for decades, working for Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports. He currently co-hosts the Audible podcast with Bruce Feldman, and he's the editor-in-chief of The Athletic's college football coverage. Very happy to have Stuart Mandel with us. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Stuart.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
We are well. We're sitting here looking at an Ohio State team that operates like a National Football League team and does it really, really well. It's number one against number two. Before I get any deeper than that, what do you think of the matchup?
I think it's awesome. I think to have a one versus two game is a big deal no matter who's in it. But the novelty of it being Indiana, who we all know has been not anything close to this for most of its history, playing in Indianapolis against the most fabled team in their conference, it really doesn't get more unique than that.
All right. How do you think Ohio State's going to approach this game? Will it be any different than any other game? I think for me, just watching Ryan Day all season long, I kind of think they set the pace and see what happens after that. Just Ohio State's approach to this game.
I think it'll be the same as it's been all season. You know, it's only people on the outside who say things like, oh, I bet Georgia wishes it didn't get into the SEC championship game. Or maybe, you know, Ohio State, do they really want to? They're already in the playoff. No, these guys are competitors. They want to win. They want to win a championship. Ohio State hasn't won one, right, obviously, in a few years now. But, yeah, I think one thing about that team is they're very consistent. They have a very clear identity. Obviously, game plans and whatnot, matchups change from week to week. But I think we know what we're getting from this team at this point.
Stuart, I look at the Big Ten championship game, and I'm intrigued by the matchup, the whole thing. And then I think, and if you win, okay, then you get into the playoff anyway. And if you lose, you get into the playoff anyway. It almost has a feeling to me of insignificance. And I'm probably wrong in that. But how do you fight that knowing that the big prize is still way ahead of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the reality of the 12-team playoff as it's made these conference championship games in some ways, some of them, very anticlimactic. I mean, just, you know, the fact that this is the Big Ten's first 1-2 game since the 2006 game, and we all remember that was months of buildup for that game. This one has very little buzz. People are going to watch it, though, because it's a great matchup. And we're all fascinated to see, especially, I think we have a really good, everybody's always going to wonder, is Indiana really this good, right?
Yeah.
So from a football entertainment standpoint, I think it's going to be awesome. But nobody could say, like, this has anywhere near the stakes. Frankly, if they had played this game a month ago, there would have been more anticipation for it. But it's like, okay, we've reached the end. We know these teams are going to be, you know, one of them is going to get the number one seed, and one of them is going to be the two or three seed.
With the new playoff system in place and maybe expansion of that in the years ahead, do college conferences need to rethink the entire idea of a conference championship game, or is this okay, Stuart?
I think it depends on the conference you're in. You know, you could say it's kind of unnecessary in the Big Ten at this point. There's not going to be a year where their top two teams don't both get in the playoff. But you look at what's happening in the ACC and the Big 12, where they may only get one bid. You know, you got to determine that somehow. The problem is the conferences have gotten so big and bloated. The ACC conference championship game, I mean, people are mocking it. How is Duke in there? How is a 7-5 Duke team in there? And what are these crazy tiebreakers that determine it? So I think some of them are going to have to rethink specifically those tiebreakers. I don't know how getting rid of the championship game entirely would help them at all. Like, that's going to be even one less opportunity for these teams to play each other. But, you know, if you're the Big Ten, this is a big moment this weekend for the SEC. If Alabama loses the game and misses the playoff because of it, that might be the end of the SEC championship game right there. Mm. You know, people are going to be watching that closely.
I want to go back to I was talking to Antonio Pittman, former Ohio State running back, last week, and he was saying, you know, Indiana used to just be this game where, where guys would, especially for the running backs for Ohio State, would just break out of their shells. J.K. Dobbins, Ezekiel Elliott, him, you know, and looking at what they've been able to do. And the fact that Indiana was just such a, it was one of those games where Ohio State could just walk all over them, and running backs have always seemed to have a big day. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on Bo Jackson in this game and how the tide has turned for Indiana to become respected to where they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State's beaten them 30 straight times. Yeah. You know, it's crazy that this is a one versus two game now when it's been so lopsided over the years. But, you know, Indiana, it was probably pretty lopsided with a lot of teams in the Big Ten over the years.
True.
Bo Jackson's been very impressive over the back half of the season, and it's making it so, like, how do you defend this offense? You already have to be so worried about Julian Sain and those two receivers, and now they've got a good running game too. You know, that was, I think early in the season, people thought, well, you know, maybe that's their one weakness, and it clearly isn't anymore.
Stuart Mandel joining us. He's from The Athletic, editor-in-chief of their college football coverage and co-hosting The Audible with Bruce Feldman. Does college football have a big problem with this coach movement and coach buyouts for these outrageous, outrageous dollar figures, Stuart? I understand moving on from a coach and everything else, but, you know, you fire Brian Kelly and you write him this unbelievable check. You fire James Franklin, you write him an unbelievable check. And it and then Lane Kiffin tries, I'd like to leave and I'd like to coach. It just all feels so wrong. And I wonder if there's anything they can or should do about all that.
I think it's a bigger, I mean, they've spent, college sports has spent the past 2 years so fixated on how out of control NIL is and how out of control the portal is, to the point where, you know, there's a bill in Congress that might get voted on this week. And it's like, what about this stuff over here with the adults? $230 million have been spent to fire coaches this year. And oh, by the way, it's not like they don't turn around and hire somebody for less than that. And the LSU one being the great example, where the governor got at that press conference and railed about how we got to do something about these contracts. And then they gave Lane Kiffin just as one-sided a contract. I don't know what can be done about that. I mean, it's a free market. You're not going to legally restrict what coaches can make, but I do think they have to do something. This is going to be, Lane Kiffin's not going to be the last one to put a team in that kind of position where they have to choose between having a lame duck coach or an interim coach in the playoff. And I've been asking around. I don't know what the SEC, if it wanted to, could probably put in that rule tomorrow about schools poaching each other's coaches. Nationally, that gets a lot trickier.
Hmm. 12 teams. Your thoughts on the expanded format, and then are we going to get bigger? Arguing over team 13, 12, 14, it's just kind of like, okay, we're doing this, really? And then all of a sudden, I think somewhere down the road, it's going to be more than 12, don't you? Or am I wrong?
Oh, it's definitely going to be, because, I mean, there's this stalemate right now between the Big Ten and the SEC. Tony Petitti is hell-bent on doing some sort of format where you get more, their conference gets more teams in automatically. And when he's been unsuccessful in getting people to do that for 16, so now he's going to try to do it for 24. And Greg Sankey and the SEC would do a 16-team playoff tomorrow if it didn't have automatic bids. Look, this year, look at the ACC. Can you imagine if we were like that? That conference automatically gets two teams in no matter where they're ranked. Hmm. You know, the SEC saying, no, we're not going to agree to that because that's going to cost one of our teams a spot. So we're at a stalemate, but there is consensus support to go to 16. God, I hope they don't do bigger than that.
I mean, I just remember when 1AA was 16, it was awesome. I mean, it really was. It would seem perfect at that point, but that now seems like it was a million years ago too. So, and now we got Ivy League schools went into that tournament, but
it's not even about the how many teams are, you know, 16. It's about the regular season. You know, nothing against the FCS, but the regular people aren't, 10 million people aren't tuning into an FCS regular season game.
True.
And the bigger the playoff gets, the less those games mean. You asked about one versus two, and this weekend is, well, in a 24-team playoff, 12-0 Ohio. Honestly, in a 24-team playoff, Ohio State is going to be in before the season even starts. Let's be honest. Like, when are they going to have a team that's not good enough to be one of the top 24 teams in the country?
That's an interesting aspect of this. is NIL what they envisioned it to be, Stuart? I must, and I'm naive when it comes to this. I'm stunned that it's become this avenue for schools to just that schools are orchestrating so much of it, and paying players to come in. You know, when it passed, I thought, okay, great, the players can go get their own thing. Instead, it's become something that I wasn't expecting. Do you think the schools were expecting that, or did they just think, hey, wait a minute, we can do this now?
No, I think it. You know, I think they thought in 2021, okay, players will be able to do endorsement deals now, and that's great. I don't think anybody imagined how quickly boosters would seize on that loophole, if you will, and form collectives. And it got so out of hand so fast that they moved too late. Now 4 years later, they're forming this College Sports Commission with all these rules and a clearinghouse and all these things. And they can't even get the school right now. They have yet to get the schools, all 68 or whatever Power Five schools, to agree to the enforcement process. So you've set up this whole thing and you can't even penalize schools yet for it. So I don't think that's ever coming back. And I don't think it should. I mean, now that you know what the market is, and I was naive. I didn't think, you know, players would be making $2, $3, $4 million in NIL money from a collective or a donor like the Bryce Underwood contract. But now that that's been set as the market rate, you can't undo that. We've seen how the NCAA and the Power Four do in court when you try to restrict what athletes make.
Isn't that the truth? Stuart, thank you very much. We appreciate your expertise, and make sure you listen to Stuart's podcast and read everything he's doing on The Athletic. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.